We're going to go to the Foynes Air Show. It's about 70 miles from the house, 95 minutes or so. Driving on a combination of national roads and one little stretch of the E20, which is a European autostrada, part of the European-funded motorway system. Foynes is a place that served the American interests very well during World War II, even though the Americans weren't here during World War II in Ireland. It is core to the part of the shipping industry in Ireland, and flying boats came and went through here. People will say that Foynes was where Irish coffee was invented. At least it claims to be the place. There's a really good holographic display of that. Irish coffee being made by an in-flight cabin steward. And you can buy Irish coffee made in the Foynes coffee shop. The museum has a replica of a flying boat. Worth visiting. We've been there about 4 times. Today, it's an air show. And we're going to really enjoy some stuff that's propeller-driven because they can go lower and louder over the people.
Good morning, Bernie. On this July 28th, 2018. Yes, our last weekend of July 2018. Current time is 06:17 a.m., sir. And just got done while waiting for my audio to render to post up to Anchor here for something to think about. Listening to rain finally, and I have to say, we've had our share of rain here in the southern tier over the last week. We've had flash floods. Susquehanna, where I'm at, the flood stage is at, the river can go as high as 30 feet before it reaches flood stage. It got up to about 18 at its peak, and the river's clearing out now, and the streams are getting back to normal. You have a great one, sir. The best to your family also. Ciao for now.
Ray, it's good to hear from you. Yeah, rain everywhere. So does that mean the Susquehanna River is muddy? The Shannon looks, murky, but not muddy. And the Shure River, we'll get a lot of mud in it if it rains hard. It's not raining hard, it's polite drizzle, which means it's trying to go into the super hard soil we have here. You can actually see the clouds are turning, the ground is turning back to green. And that's really good. Hey, I'm wondering, could I do what I'm doing now on version 2 of Anchor? I have a Sony handset that's on version 2, and it picks up both mics on the phone. It actually uploads stereo. I've tested this. But I wonder whether the episodes will go across to version 3. I'd record on the Xperia Z5. Maybe I'll think about that. I know Eli Garf was talking about staying on 2 or jumping to 3. I'm not sure what the story is with what he's interested in doing. Not many people on version 2, though. But Eli has a point of view. I can see him calling in. Let me see what Eli is asking about. Be back in a minute.
Hey, Bernie, it's Eli on the 25th of July, Wednesday morning here. Afternoon to you. I did create an episode yesterday on version 2. I thought I responded to your voice message. I'm doing it now from version 3. What do you think? Should I get rid of version 2 on the iPhone? I'm finding it to be more and more useless every day. But I'm going to give Anchor a chance with version 3. I think they're going to reinstitute some stuff. We got a new email today that said that. And so I'm going to I'm looking for advice. Because I really would like to be able to communicate with the group of people here. I find Lemur to be very useless. And Vodl just died, right? So, I don't know. I mean, Lemur, it's interesting, but there's not a lot of efficient communication going on. That's what I'm looking for. How you doing? Talk to you later. Bye.
Eli, I'm on 2 because of the pause button and the text comments. But as you know, the community is really small there. I'm not getting any feedback from people because I don't think they know it's there. The comments are there. I don't think they get the call-ins. So three is definitely more active, but having said that, I have fewer than 20 people listening to what I'm doing right now. And that's okay. The interactions back and forth have to go transmedia. So what I've found is, I'll do something here on Anchor. I may get a comment back about what I did on Twitter, or I may see images related to what I'm doing on Instagram. And that's kind of my play space. I also jump in and out of a Facebook group for Anchor's A Wave, and a Google Plus group called Anchor Podcasters. So it's transmedia, meaning Anchor actually is only one scratch and sniff space. The interactions, the true interactions I have, are in other places. I'm not sure that'll work for everybody. I don't know whether you'd want to bounce around to different places like that, but that's where I see the stuff happening. I mean, I'm making an episode right now about an air show, and I'll post imagery across on Flickr and on Instagram and on Swarm. That's a Foursquare property. And I'll get interaction from people there. But the interaction probably won't include them listening to what I'm doing. I do know this. People who listen here do view the images at these other places. And that counts as an interaction for me. There you go. I'm going to keep two because of the pause button and the comments. That's why I'm keeping it. Hope you listen to my little Foynes air show thing here. I'm going to make a summary of what happened at the air show. It's kind of fun. Foynes in County Limerick, Ireland, along the Shannon Estuary, a place where the Catalina flying boats took off years ago in the 30s and 40s. So if you follow me on Instagram, you'll know that I went to the Foynes air show and I was recording with my Sony handset. And as I was doing it, I realized it's stupid because if I zoom it, see the planes, the pixelation kicks in. And we have all this really good camera stuff at home. I should have brought it with me. It has proper optics on it. I have a handheld Averio HD camera. It's a JVC HD camera, and it would have done really, really well. I'm kicking myself because I should have known that. Anyway, some stuff that I did capture in my memory, and I found my body going through different motions involuntarily. I wouldn't tense up, but my memory is mapped to the sound and the shape of several aircraft. The DC-3 flew over. It's from a U.S. Army Air Force plane from 1943, and it served in the RAF in 1944 and in South Africa until 1981. And like these planes, many of them that flew over, it was put in storage or broken down for parts and then reconstructed. And the thing now sits in Zweibrücken. It's owned by a German guy. Zweibrücken is one of the little airstrips I used to operate out of in the Saarland in Germany. I flew the DC-3, not this one, but I flew a DC-3. I have one landing under my belt. It was a Canadian DC-3 that visited South Carolina when we had a Canadian pilot there in the squadron where I was flying. So I have a right seat landing. I remember holding on to the little control wheel and then using the pitch of the thing to fly down glide slope. A very stable aircraft, DC-3. Lots of memories in it. I'd like to get the family aboard a prop plane, a turboprop plane, and fly from the east coast of Ireland into Scotland or into Manchester or part of England. I'd like to do that. The Catalina PBY flying boat flew over. It was resurrected from an African safari company, and if you believe the brochure, this airframe that flew over has a very storied history. For me, it's just the joy of seeing a flying boat, knowing all the little stories that go with that Catalina, and how the flying boat in both the Atlantic and Pacific campaigns during World War II are so important, and how flying boats made transatlantic flight possible and transpacific flight possible. It's only a two-engine aircraft, this Catalina. In the Foynes Flying Museum, they have a four-engine Catalina model. It's a replica of one. You can walk through it and see the cabin and flight deck and steward's section and stuff like that. By far, the plane which caught my imagination most because of its noise and then its muscular ability was the Pitts. It's a very, very muscular biplane. It's powered by a six-cylinder 8.5-liter Lycoming 540 engine. Lots of carbon fiber on it now. This aircraft is actually, its call sign, the number on the side is G-EWIZ, G-Wiz. God, it was amazing. The pilot specializes in high alpha hovering. Now, alpha is lift, coefficient of lift, in an equation for flight. This guy's a three-engine, a really powerful engine, and a three-bladed prop on the aircraft, and it just attacks the air. You just hear this, and when it goes full out, full throttle, and doing its magical maneuvers, like flying backwards, you hear this wide open, biting sound. Amazing. Wow, I wish Anchor had a pause button, because I need some water. Anyway, the ME-109 and the Spitfire fought each other over the airs of the Foynes Estuary, the Shannon Estuary at Foynes. Good stuff. Both real aircraft. I mean, it was an ME-109. And it was a Spitfire. The ME-109 is kind of different, though. Built in Spain, both aircraft had Merlin engines, which made the flight maneuvers they did much easier to choreograph. Nice hearing the sound of the Merlin. The whole air show started off with the JS-37 Viggen. It's a Swedish bomber. In the background, a little piece of my information. I used to work with Op Plan 4102, which is the American plan to come to Europe in the aiding of Germany or France or England. It's a war plan basically for World War III. And the Viggen featured in one part of the war plan because it was landing in the war plan on some German Autobahns, which would affect how often American aircraft, C-130s and the C-23s, could land on those same Autobahns. The idea was if there was ever a war breaking out in Europe, we would lose runways and we'd have to use the Autobahns. The Autobahns are actually part of the German defense budget. I know Trump rails against people providing proper budgeting for their defense, but like the German Autobahn is in the war plan that Americans have. The Casa CN-235 flew over, two of them. Nice formation flying by the Irish Air Corps. The aircraft are used for interdiction, like they can watch the Irish coast for violations of the Irish waters for fishing. They can watch for drugs coming in. They can watch for air sea rescue, provide top cover. They're like a reconnaissance aircraft. They are reconnaissance. They have really good imaging capability. IR, they can see through clouds, radar. I don't know. There's probably a sensor, other kinds of sensor equipment on board that I don't know about. So the aircraft can find people. They can find heartbeats. They can find sources of heat. And the sad thing is, those CASAs aren't manned 24/7, even though the brochure says they are. So there aren't enough air crews to keep one aircraft ready to go at its main base in Baldonnell, near Dublin. Because the air crews are down, there aren't enough of them. Some sad things have happened to helicopter crews. And most notably, a Coast Guard helicopter, it was 166 was their call sign, impacted a rising part of an island as the pilot was coming in on a nighttime landing looking for fuel. Had the CASA aircraft been above the pilot, they would have never descended into this rocky outcropping. The helicopter crew did not have avionics material on board. The maps that they had in the helicopter weren't up to date. Actually, the Irish don't buy all the maps for the coastal regions of the sea line, because normally there's a top cover aircraft and the CASA has the better maps. So. Anyway, the two ship flew over, did a really good procedure, and I thought, you know, too bad the thing can't be manned for 24/7 immediate response. Pilatus flew over, four ship of Pilatus, really good flight skills shown by the four crew members. They're the Pilatus PC-9Ms, lovely four-ship demonstration. I saw the number four aircraft tucking in behind flight lead and watched them maintaining position by pitching down a little bit, keep separation so he didn't overrun the front aircraft.
something I used to do with a T-38, a little bit of maneuver. If you move your power back and forth to maintain separation, sometimes you get caught in a real tail chase. But from the ground, somebody can't see that you've actually maintained your position by pitching down. You fly through more air space, maintaining your position when you just use your elevator control up and down with your stick. Yeah, lots of things about the Floyd Air Show make you think about, okay, can I join this piloting game? So the Air Atlantic Flight Training Academy, AFTA.E, was there. Aviation Careers were being showcased at Young Horizons, a charity, younghorizons.ie. The Irish Aviation Authority was a part sponsor of a really good brochure. And, you know, I saw stuff there from the Shannon Air Traffic Control. So I'm out looking at this stuff now at the Atlantic Flight Training Academy, because in 700 days I won't have a job, and I'm thinking maybe I'll just do this, do some more flying. Foynes is making me think of that. I'm glad we went. You should too. It's like a country fair, except in the air. And I know Tim Araneta has some thoughts about that. Country fairs, where are they going? Well, aviation will always be here, so Floyd's will be here next year, 2019. We may go again. Why not? At that time, next time, I think I'm going to accept my wife's nudging and see if I can be more of a part of the planning, if only to get the grandparents a closer parking spot on the day. I'm Bernie. You can see some images I've done on Instagram, where my nickname there is Top Gold. Thanks for listening to this 10-minute clip about Foynes. Bye for now.
Bernie, your post from Clonmel got me wondering about the future of county fairs in San Francisco and the surrounding counties where I live. There's still plenty of agriculture around, but it's mostly focused on wine and increasingly cannabis. And neither one of which show off really well, like livestock. Marin County still has sheepdog trials. Alameda County still has horse demonstrations and shows. In 1990, Lucasfilm was a sponsor of the Marin County Fair. And in addition to the exhibition hall where people could show off their pies and baked goods or their paintings, Lucasfilm sponsored a creature contest, and I entered, and I got a red ribbon, second place, for my papier-mâché recreation of Audrey II, the carnivorous plant from Little Shop of Horrors. The county fair.
Tim, we have that Clonmel show. You heard me talking about it. Mia, what did you think of that?
It was good.
What'd you like about it? Because did you do any of the fashion stuff? You did what? You ate what? Candy. I don't know if you had any ice cream. What did you like? Did you like any of the animals or?
I like the birds.
The birds?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They had an aviary up front. Reminds me, I have a check with this guy. He has falcons and owls. Really good owls. God, I could go through my notes now. What's my phone? That's what it is. It's my phone. Gotta call this guy. And then the big one that we enjoy going to, it's next weekend, is the Diwala Show. What's different about the Diwala Show, Mia?
It has loads of other stuff.
It has a big tractor pull in it. It's a bigger show. And I reckon more than 10,000 people attended the last one we were at. What sticks in your memory?
There was this one kind of like game where you were kind of tied onto the end of this bounce castle thing, and you had to run up and try and get to the end without being pulled back.
Was it an elastic rope?
I think so.
I don't remember that. I have to take the JVC camera I was talking about earlier. So those are the two big ones. Although I will say, what I prefer to do as much as these shows is the artistic shows. One of my favorites, Kilkenny Arts Festival. Happens 2 weeks from now in Kilkenny, the city of Kilkenny and County Kilkenny, Ireland. So Tim, thanks for ringing in about this. County fairs, showcase of food and fun. In our case, production. Big tractors and the farmers and their large cows and their award-winning horses and so forth. Lots of color here in the summer months of Ireland. see the color. If you go into my collections at insideview.ie or a new site that I'm doing at underway.ie, you get pictures. And you'll get this entire audio clip I just made about the Foynes Air Show. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.